Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Hugo Pinnai is a director in the employment law practice at Cliff & Decker Hofmeyr. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm well, and I trust you also well.
I am indeed. It really does now become very real a problem, doesn't it?
Indeed, Howard. I mean, earlier there was a lot of speculation, and then since the 11th of June in that directive that was gazetted, it was made clear that there are circumstances under which you can force employees to be vaccinated, but of course that's subject to various limitations. Almost a bit of a conundrum. Yes, it's compulsory, but if you have religious or medical ground to object, of course you can.
Are there a lot of religious grounds? You know, if I think about most of, certainly the mainstream religions, I can't really think of any that I know of, and it obviously is possible. But are there mainstream religions that don't allow for vaccinations?
Well, you see, it depends on how the member of that particular religion interprets that. Because if you look at the court's decisions in the past, it says, first of all, that must be a tenet of that religion. And, of course, that must be tested because people can't willy-nilly use that as a defense. But, of course, the difficulty, if you look at the court's interpretation, it says, you know, what does that belief constitute? And it says whether it makes sense or not, whether it's justifiable or that's okay. That's the employee's belief. You must respect
right,
it.
And because
and
belief
really
is that.
Difficulty.
Because of what is belief? If we're going to ask anybody to prove anything beyond that, it's really almost impossible. So let's just say now we have a situation where people are working in an office or in a factory and social distancing as we move forward into the next couple of years doesn't become practical. What are the employer's rights in terms of this employee?
Well, the first of all, you know, when they talk about this vaccination and compulsory vaccination, it's not just a one-shoe-fits-all. And so first of all, the employer has to determine whether it's really operationally justifiable. In other words, where employees work from home and where they can work from home and where they have put alternatives in place and it's working and there's no real risk, then it's not just an open invite to implement the plan. So they must do that first, and ordinarily you'll find, Howard, that many employers have put sufficient plans in place not to have compulsory vaccination. Because once you have determined that, then you must determine and identify which employees will have to go. In other words, employees that has a real risk of transmission, comorbidities, and all of that, and then identify those employees. And after that, you will amend your plan and advise the employees that they have the right to object on whether it's medical or religious grounds. So you've touched on exactly the correct point that the first point of departure is what's currently in your plan and is it working or operational or not? And only then comes into place this so-called mandatory vaccination.
Right. Let's just assume that, hypothetically, that it is an environment where you can't work remotely. Maybe there's machinery, whatever the reason is, and people are working fairly closely to each other, and the employee decides, for whatever reason, that they are not prepared to get the vaccine. What happens then?
Yeah. So the first point of departure, you will identify the employee and you'll ask, you'll obviously identify what's the objection. If there's if there's no objection and the employee just simply refuses for no apparent reason, although the act is silent or the regulations are silent on it, the question is really, what can the employer do and can the employer terminate? Now, as a point of departure, it's quite clear that termination must be the absolute last resort. If there's no reason for not taking it and there is a plan and complies with all the requirements, then there's a possibility of dismissing for failing to comply with a reasonable instruction. Of course, before you do that, if we look at the incarceration cases, that's where people have been imprisoned, the courts have said in the past, look at the duration, look at alternatives. Maybe you can send the employee home without pay as an alternative and all of that. Because it's not going to be of a permanent nature. At this stage, it appears to be the case. and that's possibly an alternative to dismissal. So the Act is silent on dismissal, but it says what you must consider is the typical rules for incapacity. In other words, look at alternatives. You've said that in your scenario, there's no such alternative. Then the employer is faced with a scenario where it has to act. And why does it have to act? It has to ensure that all its employees have a safe working environment. And in fact, our employees have that duty towards its fellow employees to ensure that they work in a safe environment.
So it's actually interesting. I didn't think of it like that. I thought of it always as employer-employee. But actually, this impacts other employees as well. So it's, in effect, protecting the rights of the other employees who have the right to work in a safe environment.
Exactly that. And you know how it goes beyond that. At the moment, we've had the consequences of the lockdown, there's high rates of unemployment. So it's not just about the safety. You're placing everybody's job security at risk. And, you know, it's a personal view, but I can honestly not understand why people will not want to take vaccination under those circumstances, unless there's a genuine
You're singing to the choir here, or preaching to the choir, whatever, however that expression is goes. But indeed, I don't understand. The problem as well, of course, is when it's clear, then it's very clear. In other words, if there's no alternative and people are working closely to each other, well, then it's simple. But in real life, it's never really that simple. There's always a way, but that could still cause issues. I'm just thinking about a radio studio. Let's assume that a co-host or a news reader should be in studio. Obviously, that's not the case at the moment because of where we are in the pandemic, but they need to be sitting in studio. They can, and somebody says, well, I'm not getting the vaccine. Is it on the employer to say, all right, fine, we'll create another studio for you, or manage another area for you so that you can work like that, even though it's more expensive, less convenient, and probably less efficient? Those are the areas I think that we're going to struggle, because, of course, it can be done, but it's at a cost.
Absolutely. And the question is, how far do you have to push that cost, and what constitutes a reasonable alternative? You know, there's a case in Australia where a person with limited sight struggled with a computer screen, and all the employer had to do, I say all, was to provide a better screen and a bigger screen. And the employer didn't do that, and the tribunal said, well, that was a reasonable alternative.
100%.
Now, in your scenario, the question is that an alternative? Certainly it is an alternative. Is it a reasonable alternative? And then you look at the cost considerations, position of the company financially and otherwise, if it's a company making good money, then of course.
So you look at the whole picture.
It's easier to accommodate as opposed to somebody that on a tight budget.
Right. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to get to this question. Vaughan is asking, and I think it's such a pertinent question and so relevant, is can you ask a prospective employee at the interview stage if they've had a jab? And if not, can you reject them on that basis?
Well, it's interesting that if you ask questions that's actually covered in terms of the Employment Equity Act, that you can't discriminate against the employee for incapacity unless it's operationally justifiable. And of course, if the employee is going to work in an environment where vaccination may be required, I would think that that would fall into that category where you would say, yes, I am entitled to ask that question. And if the employee then says, well, I refuse to have any vaccination, and then I think that would be an operationally justifiable ground not to accept that employee's application or not to appoint that person.
Very, very interesting. It is a difficult one, and I think we're going to see a lot of these types of manifestations and nuances coming through as we try and grapple with it. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Fascinating conversation. Professor Hugo Pinar, director at Cliff Decker.